What a vibrant opening ceremony for the Paralympic Games. We're talking fireworks, dancing and more. But para-athletes from Vanuatu, Samoa, Kiribati and Tonga were missing from last night's opening ceremony and they won't be competing at all. The four Pacific countries pulled out of this year's Games, saying COVID-19 travel restrictions and quarantining requirements just made it too difficult. Here's how Margaret McFarlane, the president of the Vanuatu Paralympic Committee, described it to us yesterday.
It was a really very difficult decision, and I still deeply regret that we had to make that decision. It's just so devastating. We have actually had our first para-athlete for Vanuatu pre-qualify on merit, which had never happened before, and he was actually very competitive with his results. So he was actually a podium finisher chance. So, yes, very, very difficult decision to make.
That's a very disappointed Margaret McFarlane, the president of the Vanuatu Paralympic Committee there. But could more have been done to help these Pacific athletes? Someone who thinks Australia could have perhaps done more is Caitlin Bryan, the director of the Griffith Asia Institute, but she's also a member of the Sports Diplomacy Advisory Council that provides advice to the Australian government. Caitlin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Marla. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for your time and joining us this morning. I have to start by asking, what was your first reaction when you heard the news of four Pacific Island nations having to pull out of the Paralympics?
Definitely one of surprise. I mean, reading the media reports about the withdrawal of those athletes from the Olympics, it seemed like it came right at the last minute. Very disappointing decision for those athletes, but also for their countries, the countries they were representing, and would not have been a decision taken lightly. But I think if it was a decision that came down purely to the financial burden of quarantine as they travelled through Australia on their way to and home from the Games, then it does seem like that's something that could have been overcome. Although, you know, not being on the inside of the decision-making process, it's hard to know.
But in saying that, could and should Australia have potentially provided more assistance to the Paralympic teams in terms of potentially covering quarantine costs or having those conversations so that, you know, some of these athletes, like we heard from Margaret McFarlane, who qualified on merit, are able to then represent their countries in, you know, one of the biggest stages in the world?
I think that's a really important point. And we do know that there was quite a bit done for athletes. I think 170 athletes, 20 of those being para-athletes from across the Pacific Islands region, were part of a pre-Games training program. It was a partnership between the Australian Olympic and Paralympic committees and the Australian government. So I think there was quite a bit done to ensure that these athletes had the best possible opportunity to prepare for and participate in the Games. So again, it just not being involved in those decisions, it's hard to know what conversations happened. But it does seem striking that right at the last minute, some athletes just weren't able to get there, particularly if on merit, you know, they really should have been. And we've seen excellent training programs in the past ahead of the Com Games in 2018, of course. There was a two-year pre-development program, a GAPS program, led by Griffith University, where I work, but also in partnership with the Commonwealth Games Foundation, that really, you know, I think put enormous effort into making sure everything was in place for athletes to participate, to have success, to be competitive, and to continue to develop as role models to be able to then go back to their communities. So it just does seem really odd that at the very last minute these athletes weren't able to get there.
One of the reasons that was cited by the president of Vanuatu's Paralympic Committee was because of the fact of, you know, border closures, that Vanuatu closed its borders up until September, so quarantining would be quite difficult and very costly. Vanuatu's Paralympic Committee, you know, in particular, still do sausage sizzles and you know, GoFundMe fundraisers in order to support their teams in getting there. Should there potentially be conversations around not only just helping in terms of training and qualifications, but also, more broadly, helping in terms of being able to financially support some of these Pacific Paralympic committees and teams get not only across the line, but then actually across that finish line, which is to actually participate in Tokyo?
Absolutely, Mala. And I think as we think forward, Tokyo is one game. And I think, you know, you can't forget that these major events happen in the context of multiple events and competitions. And athletes need to be able to participate in those, to be able to participate on merit, you know, to ensure that they're staying competitive. So looking ahead, we've got Birmingham next year, the Pacific Games in the year after in 2023, Paris, of course, in 2024. And you know, for Brisbane, for Queensland, a place that is proximate to the Pacific, we are looking ahead at the Olympics for 2032. So I think having these conversations now, not just around one event, but around the sequencing of events and how we work together in partnership to ensure that athletes are able to participate. I think we've got to acknowledge that for para athletes, the situation this year has been especially complex. They have had to make really difficult decisions about their travel, quarantining, and fitting in training around all of that. And they don't necessarily have access to the same financial resources. I know in Vanuatu, you know, the Bread Bank committed a significant amount of money to assist the Vanuatu Paralympic Committee. We need to have more conversations. We need to engage sport and industry, private sector, to support athletes to be able to take part.
If you're just tuning in, you're hearing from Caitlin Bryan, the director for the Griffith Asia Institute, who's also a member of the Sports Diplomacy Advisory Council. And we're chatting about the Paralympics and potentially looking forward then to the games that are happening past Tokyo, the Commonwealth Games, the Pacific Games, and also Paris as well. Caitlin, how important a role does sports play when it comes to the relationship between Australia and the Pacific? Like you mentioned, the 170 Olympic and Paralympic athletes were helped by Australia. But, you know, going forward, how integral is this role between sport, Australia, Pacific, and diplomacy?
Sport plays a really important role. It's a natural link. We tend to love, I mean, you know, all nations do talk about their love for sport. I think it's particularly evident when you look at Australia and Pacific Island nations across a whole range of sports. You know, and we've seen particularly athletes from the Pacific Islands have success in the track and field area, in weightlifting. So I think being really open to the idea that sport, it can have a positive impact. It's fabulous for elite athletes, but let's not forget about grassroots sporting communities. Sport, I think, is a vehicle for us to think about how do we deliver better outcomes for all of our communities in non-sport areas, thinking about gender equity, thinking about health, positive health outcomes. So participation across the whole spectrum, from grassroots to elite competition, is absolutely critical. The Australian government does have a sports diplomacy strategy, and part of this is about thinking globally about how sport plays into our international relations, but it does bring a Pacific emphasis. It's really thinking about our community, our neighbourhood, how we engage together through competition, but how we also work together to participate, to learn from each other, and to think about delivering better outcomes across society just through the benefit of sport.
Well, I'm sure...
I should say, Mala, so if you don't mind, you know, we've also got to recognise sport is not a silver bullet. It's not the answer to anything and to everything, and it can bring its own problems. But I think if we approach it through that partnership lens, and understand the challenges that each other face, including the challenges in this case of para athletes who do face unique challenges, and it's a complex for them to gain access to certain competitions. So let's work together to sort some of that out.
And like you said earlier, I think from now until then, conversations should be taking place and hopefully will be taking place so that opportunities are provided to para athletes from the Pacific, potentially in the lead up to the other games in Paris 2024. But Caitlin, thank you so much for your time and joining the program this morning.
Thank you, Mala. Take care.
You too. That was Caitlin Bryan, the director of the Griffith Asia Institute, who's also a member of the Sports Diplomacy Advisory Council that provides advice to the Australian government.